The Gospel of Work, Elder Franklin D. Richards, Franklin D. Richards, Conference Report, October 1969, pages 121-124. My dear brothers and sisters, I rejoice with you in the wonderful spirit of this conference and the inspirational messages that have been given. A wise man has said, yesterday is gone, tomorrow may never come, but today is here. This same impressive theme is woven into our beautiful hymn entitled Today, While the Sun Shines. Today, while the sun shines, work with a will. Today all your duties with patience fulfill. There is no tomorrow, but only today. Hymns, number 215. What a marvelous philosophy, the gospel of work, combined with the challenge to perform willingly today's work today. No place for idler. President McKay has said, let us realize that the privilege to work is a gift, that the power to work is a blessing, that love of work is success. How true this is. Yet today, as in earlier times, many misguided individuals embrace the philosophy of idleness, feeling that the world owes them a living. Many have a desire to destroy the establishment that has been built upon productive effort. In this dispensation, the Lord has many times confirmed the eternal principle of work. We have been told that there is no place in the church for the idler except he repent and mend his ways, and he that is idle shall not eat the bread nor wear the garments of the laborer. The welfare program. Ever since its organization, the church has encouraged its members to establish and maintain their economic independence. It has encouraged thrift and fostered the establishment of employment-creating industries. At the time the present welfare program of the church was established, the first presidency explained that the primary purpose was to set up a system under which the curse of idleness would be done away with, the evils of a dole abolished, and independence, industry, thrift and self-respect be once more established amongst our people. The aim of the church is to help the people help themselves. Work is to be re-enthroned as the ruling principle of the lives of our church membership. These are eternal principles and are as applicable to us today as they were when given. This does not mean that Eve do not recognize the need for change. Nothing is static. All things change. We accept the law of change. This is the law of progression. The gospel of work brings change and progression. I encourage all to accept wholeheartedly the principle of effective work and make it a vital part of our lives. Love of work. As President McKay said, love of work is success. I am sure that you know many people who truly love their work. Are they happy and successful? You and I know they are both happy and successful. Such being the case, we might ask, how can we develop a love of work? To develop love of work, I suggest two guidelines. Set worthwhile objectives, and be satisfied only with superior achievement. Insofar as setting worthwhile objectives is concerned, let us consider that each day is a success in which we accomplish a worthwhile objective, and any day is a failure if it passes without some worthwhile achievement. Long-term objective. A proper appreciation of life's purpose is a great help in developing worthwhile objectives. The restored gospel of Jesus Christ answers the questions, where did we come from, why are we here, and where do we go after this life? With this knowledge, we are in a preferred position to set worthwhile objectives and goals, both short-range and long-range. I am grateful for my knowledge and testimony that God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ appeared to the prophet Joseph Smith and through him restored the gospel in its fullness, and I am grateful for the prophet who stands at the head of the Church of Jesus Christ today, our beloved President David O. McKay. May the Lord bless and sustain him. The Lord has indicated that it is His work and His glory to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. What a great work! Thus, we need not hesitate to establish our long-term objective as exaltation in the celestial kingdom, or eternal life. Each of us is entitled to immortality through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, but in order to enjoy eternal life or exaltation in the celestial kingdom, we must work out our own salvation day by day. Working out our salvation requires that we commit ourselves to keep the Lord's commandments and to work and serve effectively in all phases of life's activities. Day-to-day goals, our day-to-day, month-to-month, and year-to-year goals should contribute to our long-term objective eternal life. In selecting our day-to-day work, we should not overlook the fact that our success will be in proportion to our love of the work that we are engaged in. The Savior continually emphasized the doctrine of unselfishness and sacrifice, and it is apparent that there is no real success or happiness in being self-centered and selfish. Let me suggest, therefore, the advisability of engaging in some work that involves service to our fellow men and some sacrifice of our time, talents, and means. It is this type of work that one can easily develop a love of, as well as a love of people. Success in these areas almost always manifests itself in growth and change in the lives of all the persons involved. compatibility and loyalty, coupled with worthwhile objectives. We must learn to work compatibly with people. Some seem to be born with this talent while others have to acquire it, but fortunately this love of people and work can be developed. Another essential factor to consider at this point is loyalty. Loyalty to employer or a cause one is working for is a key step in developing a love of work and success. The great merchandiser, F.W. Woolworth, once said, "We would rather have one man or woman working with us than three merely working for us." Objectives and goals should not only be worthwhile but also realistic. They should be an incentive to work effectively. Thus, the setting of realistic objectives and achieving them becomes an important part of the great process of eternal progression, superior achievement. Now, with respect to the goal of superior achievement, Helen Keller, whose life was an inspiration to millions, expressed these sentiments: "My share in the work of the world may be limited, but the fact that it is work makes it precious. I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but it is my chief duty and joy to accomplish my humble tasks as though they were great and noble." The desire for superior achievement comes from our Father in heaven. However, too many people are imbued with the spirit of just getting by. This spirit comes from the evil one. Let us avoid the habit of just getting by, as it will rob us of the choicest rewards. Whether our work is mainly mental or physical or is a combination of both, we should learn to do it well, cultivate the proper attitude, and develop work habits that will produce superior results. These habits will become a part of us, paying the price. Superior achievement comes when one makes up his mind to be successful and is willing to pay the price or to magnify his calling. This involves the development of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in ourselves, always remembering that we are spirit children of God. It involves study and training, coupled with planning, discipline, and hard work. Yes, going the extra mile, paying the price also involves living the gospel principles. Let me emphasize the need for humility and prayer as well as hard work to keep in tune with the Holy Spirit, which will guide and direct us in time of need. Work brings missionary success. This is brought out in an interesting letter received from a lady missionary in which she stated, "With hard work, deep humility, and sincere prayer, you will succeed." As I read this sentence on my first day in the mission field, I thought, "I want to be a successful missionary." I found that to me hard work has meant going the extra mile, in doing more than is required. One experience I shall never forget is the day my companion and I found three really golden families because we asked the golden questions 20 times instead of 15 times. If we had not asked more than the required 15, we would not have been blessed in finding them, because they were the 16th, 18th, and 19th families that we asked. My companion and I were given the blessings of teaching two of these families. Satan was really working hard on these choice families, and then I again learned the importance of sincere prayer, fasting, and our testimonies of the true gospel were really the only weapons we had to fight Satan, but the Lord does answer our prayers. I was truly humbled as my companion and I watched these lovely people baptized by the true authority. Tears of happiness came into my eyes as I realized the blessings that the Lord had given to those coming into the church and to my companion and me through hard work. Someone has said that genius is 10% talent and 90% work. This I believe, and it is clearly brought out in this missionary's experience. It is our responsibility to teach young and old the value of work and the wisdom of superior achievement. Opportunities for work. The church furnishes many opportunities for work and service, regardless of age. One of the happiest persons I have seen recently was an 86-year-old woman, busily engaged in doing temple work in the Salt Lake Temple. It was evident that she loved her work. To her, work itself, with a sense of accomplishment, was the way to avoid getting old. I will be eternally grateful to the stake president of the stake in which I was raised as a young man. His motto was "Be there." Be there meant to work effectively, to magnify your calling. This teaching as a young man has had a great effect in my life. Teaching children to work. Teach children the importance of work and assist them in preparing for superior achievements. Don't deprive them of the blessings that come from proper work habits. Eleanor Roosevelt once remarked that the surest way to make it hard for children is to make it easy for them. Teach children to recognize their obligations. Teach them to be loyal to their families, to their employers, to the church, to their country, and to any worthy cause they espouse. How can you find time to teach these things to your children? And what is the best way to do it, you ask? You will find the time and a most effective way as you hold your weekly family home evening, as you have been counseled to do. Proper balance. In searching for ways to develop a love of work, we must not overlook the matter of relaxation. Although work is absolutely essential to achievement, relaxation and proper rest are likewise necessary. The power to pace oneself is an important factor in developing a love of work. The Lord expects each of us to work out a proper balance between work and relaxation, as well as the physical and spiritual aspects of life. The secret of progress. It will be to our eternal advantage to recognize that work is the secret of growth, progress, and happiness in both temporal and spiritual fields. I encourage you to set worthwhile and realistic objectives and be satisfied with only superior achievement. The philosophy of work and the extra mile is a sound philosophy. It is a vital part of the gospel of Jesus Christ that will lead us to eternal life. Accept every opportunity to serve in building the kingdom of God, and I bear you my witness that as you do your part, the Lord will make you equal to every task that you are called upon to perform. Let me conclude, as I commenced, by quoting the inspiring words of President McKay. Let us realize that the privilege to work is a gift, that the power to work is a blessing, that the love of work is success. May the Lord's choice blessings be with you, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.